The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
This morning I'm excited. We're going to start a series, and our series for the whole month of February is going to be the names of God. We're going to be looking at the different names of God, because in reality, names mean something, don't they? Anybody ever done this? Anybody ever text somebody and you send the text to the wrong person?
Yes.
Yeah? And like, it's interesting. Like, the names just mean certain things. And I'll give you a for instance. My father-in-law and my dad are both here this morning, right? Now, the first time I met my father-in-law, his arms were the size of my head, just to give you a picture. And he was working out in a weight room. So he's pumping iron, and he comes and he sits down in my office with me, and we talk for a little while. And then, like, years later, I have to go back over to his house and say, "Hey, I'd like to take your daughter on a date." And all I have in my head is pictures of this man's arms just squishing my head if he wanted to. But as I got to know him more, at first I met him and I knew him as Coach. He still is in my phone as Coach. Now we have a different relationship, and now I still call him Coach, but the relationship's changed a little bit. My dad and I have had an interesting relationship. We've gone from being, don't laugh about that. it's like every kid, dad was terrifying as a kid, not in a bad way, but you know, like, mom, wait till dad gets home. And I'm like, oh no, I'm going to get it when dad, worst thing I think I ever did. Cartoons, kids, they're dangerous. So I saw a cartoon where they poked holes in a waterbed, and water just shot up everywhere, and I was like, that looks like so much fun. And mom and dad had a waterbed, and so I just happened to try it because it looked like fun on the cartoon. And like a week went by, and all of a sudden, dad thought that he had a problem, and his bed was wet every night, and he couldn't figure it out. So they came and they were trying to figure these things out, and I was watching a cartoon, and I said, they did it on the cartoon. I said, Mom, I said, you know what's funny? That doesn't actually work like that. And she goes, what do you mean? And I said, well, they poked holes in the waterbed and water shot everywhere. I did that to y'all's bed and it doesn't work. And so we went in and I had to show her where I poked the holes and they had to patch them. And I remember her saying, when your dad gets home. And I was like, oh. Well, it's the worst thing we're going to talk about in church. But now, like, it's interesting because he went from that to growing up, and in high school, we had a very, I thought my dad and I had a good relationship in high school, but, you know, there was still this element of fear and respect and things, and now it's developed into, like, a friendship, and my dad is one of my best friends. And so the name that I talk to him is Dad, and it's different. If you were to call me John, I would kind of know you from one spot. If you were to call me Pastor John, I would know you from a completely different spot. If you were to call me Coach John, I would know you from a completely different spot. If you were to call me Sugar Lips, you're supposed to be my wife. And so, like, there are names that mean certain things to us, right? And this morning, as we introduce this series of the names of God, what I want you to understand is that the names of God are super important to us. Because it's as we start to understand the names of God, and as we start to understand the different names of God, we start to get a glimpse into God's character. Each of the names of God highlight, they point out, they add to God's character. Well, understanding God's character is important for us because the more that we understand about God's character, the deeper and the more it enhances our relationship with God, but it also enhances our worship of God. Everybody kind of good so far? Again, your names mean different things to you. The more you understand about that name, the more it means something to you. The more you have a different appreciation or a fondness of the person. And so this month, we're going to go through the names of God this month and just look at some different names of God. This is the hope. As we go through the names of God, you'll better understand the character of God, but as you better understand the character of who God is, it will enhance your relationship with God, but it'll also enhance our worship of God. So, with that being said, the first name we're going to start out with is Elohim, is how I've always heard it said. It's Elohim. It's the very first word that God introduces himself as. It's the true God, the strong one, the supreme deity. majesty, unlimited greatness and supremacy. In Genesis 1:1, this is the term that's used. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It is the overall God of all gods. He is the greatest, the most majestic. From the very beginning, this is who He is. He is above all, over all, and the creator of all. He is the God. Now, the term Elohim is meant to show God's sovereignty. What does sovereignty mean? It means His control, His reign, His rule over everything. So Elohim is meant, it's the term that God introduces Himself with to show that He is in control of everything. He is in control of creation. He is in control of all creation. He is in control of everything that happens to you and I. God is sovereign over all because He created all. Some different things here. He is the Elohim of earth. Isaiah 54:5 says He is God of all the earth. Elohim of all flesh. Y'all remember, I think it was Ezekiel, the dry bones. Wednesday night Bible study, we talked about this too. If y'all aren't involved on Wednesday night Bible study, y'all have got to come. And I forget who I told, it's my favorite night of the week. I love Wednesday night Bible study. We talked about this on Wednesday night. We talked about, and I forget where we were on Wednesday night. Oh, Lazarus. Lazarus. The resurrection of Lazarus. But how God restored Lazarus' flesh. You have the army of dry bones where there's these dry bones, and God says, command them to stand up, and the prophet does, and they stand up, and then all of a sudden the bones join themselves together and muscle comes, but then God makes flesh cover the muscle and the bones. He is the God who created flesh, who put flesh on my body, who put flesh on your body, who took dirt, who molded the dirt together, who breathed breath into it, and from it, the dust of the earth, He created humanity. He is the Elohim, the God over all flesh. He is the Elohim over heaven, Nehemiah 2:4. Elohim of all gods. He is the Lord of lords. The term Elohim for God is this. He is the creator and authority of all things. God is the creator and authority of all things. Now, what does that mean to you and I? Y'all ever, I don't know. Y'all ever like, not... I don't say question God, because that's, I don't know if that's the best thing to do, but y'all ever like struggle with why God does some things at times? Like God's timing? Here we go. Anybody ever question God's timing? Like why right now? Of all the times, of all the instances when this could have happened, why this moment right now? And it's interesting, there's this guy in the scriptures, Job. Y'all familiar with him? Job, and Job is wealthy, he's got all this stuff. He's got family, and God literally takes everything Job has. And so, I think within the very first chapter of Job, you find Job sitting in a pile of ashes where his house used to be, with three friends mourning, grieving over everything that he's lost. And all he has is three friends who aren't that great of friends, and a wife who is a nagging wife. Job is a very unlucky man by the end of chapter 1. And so the whole book of Job is Job's friends saying, hey, listen, did you do this? Did you do this? And Job defending himself, and Job's like confidence that God is sovereign. God has a reason. God has a purpose. God has a plan and all this. But towards the end of the book of Job, Job starts to kind of question and wrestle with God. Why is this happening? Why now, God? Why now? Why now? And it's in Job chapter 39. God finally talks to Job and he says, Job, where were you when I built the heavens and the earth? Actually, I love it. He says, Job, gird up your loins and you instruct me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth, Job? Hey, Job, where were you when I made humanity from flesh? Job, when there was nothing and I spoke everything into existence, where were you? He says, put your big boy pants on and you come teach me something. And Job's response is exactly what my response would be. I've said something that is way bigger than I understand. And I'm so, so sorry. See, a lot of times I think for us, we get comfortable with God. And there's something good because we're going to learn in just a second how God is a relational God. He's our Father. He wants to be the one who takes us by our hand and leads us. But sometimes we become so comfortable with God that we forget who he is. We forget that he is the sovereign deity in charge of all, the creator of all, the sustainer of all, and the one who, yes, he wants us to come to him with his problems, but he doesn't want us to ever question his judgment, because his judgment is supreme. It's perfect. And what he's doing in your life and in my life is perfect. Now, that's really tough to swallow, because my life's not perfect. And then I don't know about you, but I can just imagine some of y'all got some stuff going on in your life. But what I can tell you is this, is God is sovereign over whatever's going on in your life. He is sovereign over whatever's going on in my life. God is never, and I'm not a political person, sorry. God's never woken up after an election and been like, oh, that guy won. That wasn't supposed to happen. Never happened. There's never been a pink slip that's been delivered to you that God was surprised by. There's never been a doctor's report that's come in, an x-ray that's taken, a CAT scan that's been given, that God said, I did not know that was going to happen. He is sovereign over all those things, and he is in control over all those things. I've got to get back to my notes for time's sake. I'm sorry. All right. So, Elohim is to show that God is sovereign. However, Elohim is one name that he gives, and you see this name given in Genesis chapter 17, verse 7, when he says, I will establish a covenant as everlasting covenant between you and your descendants for generations to come. I will be your God, and you will be the descendants and your, sorry, I will be your God and the God of your descendants after you. God, that's God's promise to Abraham, and he's saying to Abraham, listen, I'm going to be your Elohim. I'm going to be your supreme being. I'm going to be your God who's in charge of everything. But did anybody notice that there is an interesting phrase there? It's God. The term God here is Elohim. But what's before Elohim? Your. You and your. It's interesting because what this is the supreme, the sovereign, the almighty saying, listen, I'm also relational. I am God. I am supreme. I am the creator, sustainer of all. But I'm your creator. I'm your sustainer. I'm the one who is all that to you. And you start to get this glimpse, this image here of God wanting to be relational as well. And so Elohim, while he is a supreme deity, he also has a desire to be relational. Jeremiah 31, 33, this is a covenant I'll make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I'll put my law on their minds. I will write on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. So while Elohim is the God that we understand is supreme, he is the authority of all, you're starting to get this glimpse that the supreme deity also desires to be very relational. He wants to be intentional, he wants to be personal, he wants to be connected to you and I. And so we have another name that comes from that. It's Yahweh. Yahweh is the relational God, it's the personal name of God. It shows that he is self-existent, that he started all things, but he is active with his people. Yahweh comes from, there's two words that come from it. One of them is the term that would essentially be a trunk of a tree. Why the trunk of a tree? Because that's where a tree starts, right? It's at the trunk. It's to show that Yahweh is the beginning of all things. But the other part of that word, it is a Hebrew word, and it talks about development. It talks about active involvement. And so what this tells me when you get to who Jehovah is Jehovah is the start of all things. I'm sorry, not Jehovah. We're getting to Jehovah. Yahweh is the start of all things, but he is also involved in developing all things. He's actively involved in our lives. So, why are you here this morning? Mr. John said it earlier. God filled your breath with lungs this morning. But God filled your lungs with breath. Man, I only got one cup of coffee. Y'all got to bear with me. I'm sorry. God filled your lungs with breath this morning. Well, that's the beginning of it. God started something with you, but guess what? He didn't just say, hey, listen, now go on your way. He got in the car with you. He drove you here. He got you in your seat. He helped you sit down. He's working in this service through the worship, through the giving. He's working in all those things because God is, yes, he is the beginning, but he is actively involved in his creation, in you, in I. God's desire, his plan is to be relational, intentional, and personal with all of us. And so the blanks there are, it comes from the trunk of the tree and it comes from an active involvement of his, with his creation. While Yahweh is used in Genesis, you see it with Eve when he talks to Eve. You see it with Seth. You see it with Noah. You see this term Yahweh being used with Abraham. There's one spot where Yahweh becomes fully realized. It's in the burning bush. It's when God has his conversation with Moses through the burning bush. It's in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, this to the people of Israel is what you should say. The I am has sent me to you. It's God's personal name. It's his individual name. This becomes so special, so unique. This name, Yahweh, that the Jewish, the nation of Israel actually removed the vowels so they wouldn't actually have to say this, the whole thing. And Yahweh actually becomes Jehovah. You and I know the term Jehovah. That was the kind of the hybrid name, the made up name that came from not being able to say Yahweh because it was such a holy and precious name. And so the derivative or the name that came from that is Jehovah. They could say Jehovah and it wasn't like they were speaking of God by his personal name. But it was kind of their way of keeping God holy, yet making him relational. That relationship is seen because, like you saw in Moses' story, God says, listen, I am. I am the creator, the sustainer, the almighty, but I'm also the God who cares about his people. Who wants to be involved with you. Who desires to come and to have a relationship with you. In Exodus chapter 6, verse 3, this is what happens. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob as El Shaddai. That's also as Elohim, the God Almighty. But I did not reveal my name, Yahweh, to them. See, all the people who we talked about, when we talked about Abraham, when we talked about Eve, to Seth, to Noah, all those people, God revealed himself. He used the name, I am Elohim. But he never reuses the name Yahweh until he has this encounter with Moses. And when he has this encounter and he talks to Moses through the burning bush, he says, I am Yahweh. I am the creator God. I am the sustainer God, but I am the relational God also. And so this morning, I know that this has kind of been, maybe it's been out to you, but to me it's kind of been a strange morning. God is completely supreme, sovereign above all. And then even though he needs nothing outside himself, he chose to have a relationship with you and I. When you go back, before God reveals himself to Moses as I am, as Yahweh, you find this passage in Scripture. It's Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 through 8. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. And I'm concerned about them. I'm concerned about their sufferings. So I've come down to rescue them. Later on in that passage is where God goes to Moses, and he goes to Moses through the burning bush and he says, I'm Yahweh. It's the idea when you read the entire chapter 3 of Exodus, what you and I find is this. Is God is concerned with his creation. His desire is to be relational. His desire, he's seen the affliction of his people and he says, I can't sit by any longer. I have to get involved. Now, that's super cool for you and I. Because this morning, if you feel like your world's out of control, Elohim is in control over all things. But he also wants you to know that Yahweh, I am, is with you. You know what this said to me is this. God is concerned with everything that happens in my life. every single detail, every aspect. God is supremely concerned with it. For some of us, God is completely supreme, or God is completely concerned with what's going on in your life, and you don't have the relationship with God. You know God is the creator, you know He's the sustainer, you're good with all those things, but the relational God, the God who cares about you, you can't grasp that concept. You can't figure that out. Scripture is got this awesome story in it where there's this man named Jesus, and he comes and he dies on a cross. And he does so for you and for I, so that we can have a relationship with God through him, through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. It's the ultimate expression of God saying, listen, I care about you. I am Elohim, but I am also Yahweh. And I care about my people. Some of y'all this morning need to hear that God cares about you. God cares immensely about you. He cares about what you're going through. He cares about what's happening in your life. And God is deeply, deeply concerned for you. Some of you this morning need to hear that He is Elohim. Whatever situation, circumstances are going on in your life, God is in control. He is over it. There's also this other thing that happens. It got me thinking. When Satan tempted Eve, he tempted her with what? It wasn't an apple. Spoiler alert. It was fruit, but it was fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, when you eat this, you will become like who? Like God. The term is Elohim. You will become like the Supreme One. Now, it's interesting because when you look at that word, Elohim is the creator. He is the sustainer. He does not need anything in and of himself. He needs nothing. How many of y'all like to think of yourself as independent people? Anybody? Having babies, kids, it's amazing. They need everything, don't they? Needy baby, greedy baby, they just take and take and take and they never give back. And you think, like, in your head that as you grow up, the whole purpose is to become more independent, right? My 3-year-old, I do it by myself, Daddy. Okay, great. My 6-year-old, I can do this. I don't need your help. I'm good, Dad. Nora, you're 6 feet high on a ladder. You need some help here, darling. But that's the purpose, that's the intention, isn't it? To become independent where we don't need anyone else. And I think one of the lies that Satan is still doing in his church is this. A lot of y'all are convinced that you don't need anybody else. You say, well, I don't need anybody else. I'm self-sufficient. I thought so too. And I started thinking through my day, and I was like, you know what? I don't need anybody. I can cook for myself. I can make a dang good ramen noodle quesadilla, man. Take some ramen noodles, man. You break them up. You put them on the quesadilla. Put it in a quesadilla maker. It's good stuff. And then I started thinking, there's a cow that had to give some milk in there for me to have my cheese. There's some grain and some wheat that had to be made into flour. And listen, I don't know how to smush that stuff down and make it myself. I have to go buy it in a package, which means that somebody had to package that for me. I don't have no clue, Brother Leo, how to make electricity. I can cause sparks, but I can't make electricity. So if I plug my little quesadilla maker in the wall, but I don't know how to make electricity, then I have to count on SWEPCO to make electricity for me. And see, we like to convince ourselves that we're independent, that we're in need of nothing and no one. But the reality is that we're all needy people. Every single one of you is in need today. And I think that this is a lie that Satan tells us, because what he's convincing you and I of is he's convincing of us that we don't need God. We can do it on our own. And it starts with little things like, I can make it through this difficult time on my own. I'm going through this struggle, I'm going through this tragedy, I'm going through this hardship, but I can make it through on my own. But what happens, church, if we're not careful, is we start to delve into our salvation. And all of a sudden, I can become saved on my own. I don't need God. I can become a good enough person. I can become righteous enough. I can become enough. I can become enough. I can become enough. And what happens is this, is eventually, before long, we become so self-sufficient that we refuse to acknowledge our need for God in every area and aspect of our life. And that's super dangerous. And so this morning, I want to just challenge you with this. Some of y'all just need to let God know you need Him this morning. You need to humble yourself. You need to say, you know what, God, I've tried too long. I've tried to do it on my own. I've tried to make it about myself. I've tried to take it on. I've tried to do it all. I've tried to be self-sufficient, separate from you. This morning, I just need to acknowledge that I need you. And what you'll find is you'll find a very relational Yahweh who has His arms open saying, I've known you needed me all along. But I want you to know that you need me also. And that in me, you will find the source of everything you need. God's desire is to be creator, sustainer of your life, who has a deep, meaningful relationship with you. That's where we're going to start this series, because we're going to look at other names next week that branch off of these names. And it gives us a greater glimpse into who God is. So this morning during the invitation, that's the invitation to you. Listen, worship God because He has a relationship with you, because He died on the cross for your sins. And just as Michael and Becky come and lead us in worship, worship Him for a God who gave Himself to have a relationship with you. And just thank Him for that. Some of you need to acknowledge the fact that you need God. So during our invitation today, you just need to spend some time in prayer saying, God, I need you. I'm so sorry I thought I could do it on my own. I'm humbling myself and I'm coming to you and acknowledging before you that I need you. Some of y'all need to have a profession of faith. You need to make this public, your relationship with God. Some of you need to join our church. Some of you need to come and get information about baptism. Whatever God's doing in your life, I pray that you would be obedient to it during this time. But I pray that you would worship God for who He is today and who He wants to be in your life. God, I thank you for today. Father, I thank you for being Elohim. You are a true God. You are the true God. You are supreme. You are alone in who you are. You are above all. God, I pray that this morning we would acknowledge our need for you. That God, in doing so, it would humble us. It would bring us to a point of relying on you for things that we never thought we would rely on you for. God, whether it's the strength to get out of bed tomorrow morning, to make it through this difficult time. God, if it's just simply to breathe, we need you. Father, for those of us who need to know that you care about us, this morning I pray that you would speak into our lives that you care deeply about us. Lord, that we would worship you for all who you are this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.